Parshas Balak. Why is the name of the parshas Parshas Balak? Seemingly it's named after a guy. Yisrael already became a Yid. Any other names of parshas we have generally you could attribute to being a Yid and something special. Mayach, okay, fine. We can understand that at least. Tzadik. What's shot over here with Balak? So the newer Pardes Yosef says that the Gemara Nozer, Gemara Saita says that from the Membeis Karbonis, from the 42 Karbonis that Balak brought, he was Zoicha that Rus came out of him and David and therefore Mashiach all came from him, and therefore it could be that that stands as something, as possibly a reason for the parsha to be named after him. The same Gemara, slightly, and a slightly different answer for this, but really the exact same words over there that the Gemara is going on is that it's trying to bring out the Yisoid that Mitoch Shalei Lishma Bal Lishma. In other words, Balak was really bringing these Karbonis not Lishma. He wasn't bringing them for a good reason. He was bringing them for a bad reason. And even so, it ended up that Brachas came to Klal Yisrael because of it. So that's Mitoch Shalei Lishma Bal Lishma. And therefore he was zeicher for these people to come out of him. That's what the Gemara is saying. And therefore, it could be it's not so shver that he has a parsha named after him because it ended up being a lishma. What? Because Klal Yisrael ended up getting a bracha out of this. The Karbonos were brought as a what? It was for him, right? He wanted Bilam to come do it. He wanted the whole thing. He caused Bilam to open his mouth. The Karbonos were his. Bilam's just the one being makav. And not only that, there's Ramban that says over here, right? We know what's going. Yeah, Bilam knows Mishnayis Kachim over here. All right, so Shitas Parshas before Mishnayis. Shitas Rabbi Lezer. That Bilam Mefaglim. We generally don't hold that. Generally, we hold the Kain is the Mefagel. You bring a carbon as someone who walks up to the Beis Hamikdash, you're not the one who's thinking the pigle. The Kain is the one thinking the pigle. There's another one, that's Sheetz Rabbi Yossi, that's how we paskin. Rabbi Lezer holds on like that. I think it's Rabbi Lezer. And so there's an interesting Ramban that happens to say that one of the times that Bilam is about to bring these karbanos, he says to Balak, you're the owner, make sure that you don't have bad thoughts to ruin the karbanos. In other words, the whole thing was, okay, Balak bring karbanos and Balak have these karbanos. Bilam was the one giving it, was the one saying it. So that's why it's through him, and that's again what we're saying, why Parsha is named after him. Well, yeah, but again, they were doing it to try to bring up bad in it. Ended up bringing out good. It ended up bringing to a bracha. Sorry? Ice dice. I mean, again, the pigle, what was one second? Let me find the Ramban half a second. The pigle that he said, I want to make sure that he's not saying it to Avodah Zarah, one second. Let's see over here. Zatramban. Okay. Fine, maybe we'll find it later. Okay. Fine. Anyways. You have to know how the following would fit, but Reb Chaim Volozhiner by Mitoch Shalei Lishma Bal Lishma says that it has to be that your end goal is that you come to Lishma. In other words, learn Torah for the contest, learn Torah for the candies, but eventually you're doing it eventually, so you can hope to grow up to be that you'll be doing it for the correct reasons on its own. So that's a little hard to say with such a thing, but again, it's the Gemara, the Valitaisis didn't bring it down, so it's hard to discredit it. It's more what's Pshat from Chaim Volozhiner himself, that he's teaching that. And not only that, it's not just that you don't have the good, it's not like that you don't have, generally, it's okay, candy, and you should have the good in mind at the end of the day. This is the total opposite. You're having a mind to curse Kali Yisrael, and yet it ended up being good. Sounds like very Mizrach Meir, and a little hard to hear. But that's what's coming out. Okay. A shayla. We know it says al tatzar, not in this week's parasha. Parasha Kisetze maybe it says al tatzar esmaya or dvarim. Al tatzar esmayav. You can't oppress mayav. So what's going on over here? Why was mayav scared? Why were they scared that anything was going to happen? So Beryl answered something along the lines of that perhaps you would taunt mayav. You can't oppress them. But taunt Mayav in a way that they will feel, you know, a little uneasy. And then they might start a war. Once they start a war, if they start a war with you, then you're allowed to go fight them. So that could be that's what they were worried about. They were worried that Klal Yisrael would do this and try to get them into a war somehow. And then they would be forced to fight. And obviously, they were scared to lose. There's a pshat, you ever, in last week's Haftarah, with Yiftach talking to the Melech Bnei Amon and how the whole lands worked, but Pekitzer, Mayav and Amon had land and Sichon took it away from them, and therefore since Sichon took it, the Lashon Chazal is Tihar, Sichon, quote-unquote, cleaned the land, and now it's Sichon's land, and that's why Klal Yisrael is allowed to take it. So it could be that they didn't understand so much what was going on. As far as they were concerned, good, they know Klal Yisrael has a lav. They know Klal Yisrael's not allowed to do it. But look, it seems like they broke it because they took our land. They didn't realize that, no, it was fully mutter, once again, because Sichon had taken it already from Mayav. So that could be another possible answer about why they were scared. Bilam, many different shitas, who he was, just mentioned a couple of them. I said, Chaim Kanevsky has a bunch. But Rashi and Sanhedrin says that he was the son of Lavan. Tanchuma says he's the grandson of Lavan. Targum Yonasan says he's Lavan himself. Paneach Rosa says he's a Gilgal of Lavan. Chaim Kanevsky brings another couple of pshatim that it could be he's not Bilam from Mitzrayim, but he's a great-grandson of Bilam from Mitzrayim. Bilam's sons are always mentioned in Targum Yonasan and other places that he had two sons who were sorcerers with him. It could be that was the grandfather of the current Bilam we're dealing with. Okay, many shitas who he was exactly. There's definitely a correlation between them and getting in the middle of the parsha where it mentions the crossing of the gate and being over swearing that him and Yaakov, that Lavan and Yaakov had made. Okay, fine.
Where does it come from that everybody's always on saying that Bilam, okay, I understand if it's the Bilam from Mitzrayim, he has the same name.
Why does everyone feel that they have to say that he's Lava once? Maybe because he said the Lava once, Bikish Lakar Sakal. So, and then that's Bilam also. We're going to see that was his main gang, and he really wanted to get rid of everyone, much more than Balak, perhaps even. Okay. Fine. He wanted to curse. They wanted him to curse. So, the Sror Hamar and the Chafetz Chaim point out very interestingly that normally, by a yid, what do? We have a tzara, we go to a tzaddik for a bracha, and he gives us bracha that hopefully it should all be good for us. Look at a guy, says they, look at a guy, that a guy goes to their big person, and they don't want a bracha to protect them, they want a curse for the opposing side. We don't do that, right? Even what's it called? Ishtik Sharameir, then the Barchi Nafshi said to him that we don't want that it should be Rishayim Aydin. We don't want that the Rishayim shouldn't be here. We don't want their actions to be here. That's the way it is. We're looking for the good. We're not looking to be malicious, vicious people. He's pointing out the difference between a Yid and a Goy. Okay, very interesting. Eitz Asher Tevarech Mevayroch. Seemingly, so we would think that Bilam has the power of bracha. Doesn't seem like that necessarily. The Sipurna says that he does not have a power of bracha. He only had a power of klala. They only said it to him so that they shouldn't seem like they're coming to him. Oh, you're like the destroyer. You're the bad guy. He doesn't want to be known as that. So they threw in, we know, if you give blessing, blessing works. If you curse, curse works. Fine, now Bilam can come in and do what he's good at, which is only being able to curse. Really, he has no power for bracha.
How was he able to end up giving them a shtak of
That was Hashem. That was Hashem the whole time. That was Hashem the whole time controlling his mouth. That was this special Enoch Hanami. And the Aruch Chaim says that he Taka had no power for bracha either. Rather, he was an excellent stargazer. He was an excellent stargazer. He would look at the stars, see what they held, hoped it would come true, but he wouldn't tell that to the person. He would give the person, oh, let me give you a blessing. And he wouldn't tell them what the star said. He would bless them exactly what the star said. The star said that this guy was going to make $10 tomorrow. I give you a blessing. Tomorrow you should make $10. And then it would come true. The guy would think it came true because of Bilam. But really, it didn't. It came true because that's the stars. There is some kliach. There's mazel to people, according to the Gemara Shabbos, that the Goyim have at least, perhaps. So therefore, that's how he would trick them. Okay. Hashem says, kum lechi tom, the second time. What happened? What happened the second time that all of a sudden now Bilam can go? So Rashi explains, if you're coming for schar, if they're going to pay you and that's the point, then okay, fine, you can go. Okay, but seemingly, why does that make a difference? One, and two, there are still steers the whole parsha. He sends the malach to get him. Good, yeah, good, not good. So Shimon Schwab beautifully explains that anything that's ever lishma, in other words, solely for that purpose, no other motive involved, will succeed, will be brought to the end. Says Shimon Schwab, all the, I can literally use these words, but all the isms, Marxists, they had millions and millions and millions of people because they were dedicated to exactly that cause. People in Russia and all the things that happened were dedicated to the causes because it was solely for that cause. When something's lishma, he doesn't really explain the reason why it's that way, but Hashem, it's going to be allowed, it's going to go through. When it's shalei lishma, when there's money involved, when it's not necessarily for that purpose, there's other things involved, then it's not going to be able to go through. In other words, the main purpose itself will fall apart. So therefore, Hashem says to Bilam, the first time it looked like it was all covered, and I'm sorry, the first time it looked like it was all to curse Klai, so let's go. Hashem says, absolutely not. Because Hashem knows where this is going to go, and again, I didn't understand exactly, but that when it's going like that, Hashem is not going to stop it. In other words, once it's rolling already. So Hashem said, no. When the second time, if they're coming for money, they're going to pay you, they're going to give you cover, fine, go. Hashem has no problem with them going because it's going to fall apart on its own. When there's 10 different things involved, it's not going to be able to go through. Then on the way already, so have something to do with what we'll mention a little bit later about why he had two people with him. But the point is that on the way already, now it looks like he's on his own. Why is he on his own? Why is he Yachvish Chamar? That's it. No, I'm here. I'm going to curse Klai. You're back to just for the purpose of cursing. You forgot about the covet. The people aren't even with you. You're not going with the whole entourage. All right, stop. Malach, let's go. Get him to stop. We can't let this go through. Because if he does go with this, he's going to be able to pull that curse out. So once again, the Malach is saying, in other words, like I told you before, if you're going for covet, go. But if you're going to put it through, then don't. So obviously, we see from here, it brings out Rav Shimon Schwab, the Gevaldik Koyach of Rishma and Kavachimer for good things. And he says, even Chas V'Shalom, if someone sees a bad thing being done Rishma, then the way to be misgaber against it, the way to pull up against that is for you to do your thing Rishma. The Goyim are doing something fully with no other purpose other than the thing itself to destroy, fine. Then you do the Torah Mitzvahs totally lishma, and that will win it out. Hence, right, it's an answer to Bilam. Bilam gets up and saddles the donkey in his own. Oh, Krakadomcha Avram. Avram already preceded you that he got up in the morning early and saddled his donkey himself. What's the shock of Atariya? In other words, it had to be the way because there was going to come a Bilam. Obviously, yes, Avram on his own did it for the mitzvah. But it's almost that Bilam, we knew that you were going to come. So therefore, we knew that we had to have this in place, that Avram had this already, and that's why it'll combat your lishma. Okay. Well, Pyros? What do you mean? Yeah. Said what? What, the whole killing Mitzrayim? What do you mean? Well, what shaykh is Pare? You think some say throughout history, why didn't everyone do we can take out the var from what we see. Okay. Fine. Okay, a paltika chacham tzvi to mention. What's called Gemara Bracha says Hashem gets angry one point a day, and that's what Bilam was banking on, right? So frek the chacham tzvi. That into that while Bilam's going, Vayicharaf Hashem got angry at him. Frek the chacham tzvi, why didn't Bilam curse then? I mean, it's a hard chacham tzvi is kasha to say over. What? He's angry at Bilam himself. One. Two, he doesn't know yet exactly what Balak's going to ask him, how he's going to ask him. Three, he doesn't know that Hashem is going to not be angry later and hold back the anger for those specific days. It's a very hard chacham tzvi to stomach. What? Well, right, that's part of this question also. Exactly, right. Chacham tzvi would sound like that anger itself is enough, no matter who it's directed at. But the question on him seems to be... Right, exactly. Right, exactly. It's a hard question. But the Chacham tzvi himself answers that it says in Gemara Brachos that if Zman Tevila comes, then you have to go, one mandamer holds, you have to go off your donkey to daven. While you're riding in your car, while you're riding on your donkey, no concentration, get off your donkey to daven. The other mandamer holds, Rebbe holds, who we passing like, mechaven libay, just direct your heart towards Hashem, towards the Beis HaMikdash, and then you're good to go. So therefore, Bilam, in order to curse, so even though, yes, we pass like Rebbe, but in order to pull such a high thing of cursing, which is probably he was banking on his Nebu, whatever, Lachar, you need like the Rambam, you need Yeshiva Das, whatever, and everything to pile up. So even though we normally pass like Rebbe, Lachar, we would say that you need to be like our mayor over here. And therefore, it wouldn't have worked. He's sitting riding his donkey. That's when Hashem is getting angry. That's what the Chacham Tzvi answers about why he could not curse now. He missed the opportunity because he's sitting on his donkey, not Miyoshev. Okay, fine. Rabbi Aaron Leib points out something very interesting. He brings from Rebbe Chanan, right? It says Hashem got angry that he was going. Hashem didn't tell him not to go. So seemingly, you would see a proof from here that if one can ask themselves, can Hashem get angry at you for if you do what he didn't say not to do? He didn't tell you specifically not to do something. Can he get angry at you? Seemingly from here, yeah. Seemingly from here, yes. We understand. Right, but does Hashem have a right? In other words, yes, people are people, but Hashem is just. Will Hashem say, no, I didn't tell you not to, so yes, you should have known that I wouldn't have wanted to. Hagufa, yeah. He wants to bring a raya from over here, and Lachara, he says he could bring a raya, then Mimele, you could take him on also, that zikr, if you do good, even though Hashem didn't say it, your zikr will be rewarded, the zard of the Mitzvah Sharm's Vart, of that someone who you love, Midas Chassidus is, that someone who you love, you'll do it. Your father asks you for a glass of water, why are you bringing him a napkin? Did anyone tell you to touch that pile of napkin? Answer is because that's the nicety of it. Of course it makes sense that I'll be mechav my father even more by doing it. That's the Midas Chassidus, explains the Mitzvah Sharm, and that Bukhar would be the same Yisrael. Like we're saying that, of course, Hashem will be happy and give you schar. Yeah, of course. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, golden silver,
Vada. It's not real to do.
That's what we're saying. That's where this starts. That's exactly what Ryan Leib is saying from Rabbi Chanan, that Hashem would have a right to be angry. Yeah. And I guess interesting also, I don't know where this is. It was quoted to me that Chavis Havav says, there's no such thing as a Maiser Rishos. Everything's either a Ver or a Mitzvah. How do you understand that? This will be the answer. That every you know that Hashem does Hashem want you doing that? Anything that's for learning, whatever it is, that's going to help you, whatever, be able to... Barui Gabis or whatever, so it doesn't have to be a Jewish thing. If what's it called? Exercise, whatever it is, then fine. So good, that'll make you rest. That's how everything could be mitzvah or avera oriented. Okay, fine. Vayiftach Hashem is pia asim. Zakta Sipurnai, Rabbi Yerucham, the Mashkich Rabbi Yerucham was always his fall from this. Says Rabbi Yerucham. Says Rabbi Yerucham. Nosam ba kayach ledaber. Hashem gave the kayach of Dibur to the donkey. Says Rabbi Yerucham. Says the Sipurnai. Ke'inyan Hashem sifasai tiftach. David ha-melech. In Tehillim says a simple thing that we say before any Shemini Esrei, that we say before maybe we go into an important meeting. Hashem, please be with me. Says what? People say Yulurotzin and Refi. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. You're banking on something big. Hashem, please. I can't show you the Sefer necessarily, but I know it's a practice. No. Fine, good. Same as some good. Kind of luxury. Yes, beautiful. Yeah, same as that. Fine. I'll call upon him, but says the Sipurnai that the Maisa Bereshis Pia Asim, you know what that is? That's Hashem Svasai Tiftach. So you can look at it as a Prisis. Or the correct way to look at it, obviously, is that every single time we open our mouths to say something, important or not, big meaning or not, big Shidduch or not, big idea or not, big concept or not, we're bad of the exact same thing as a dumb donkey that Hashem is giving kayach ledad. Rabbi Yerucham Mamish will go out of his kalim from this, that how amazing it is how Hashem takes care of us and is literally with us. That is Hashem opening our mouth. And the same is like Ravavi saying that if you still want Enoch Mavadi, then of course Hashem is running the entire thing. There's nothing to even. Of course it's the same thing as Pia Asin. Who has a Shiloh? Was a Shiloh, but it's helping us realize the power of our speech. Same exact way we think. Oh no, come on, us! Come on, they're at least something. No. Same thing. Rich was always a spawn from this Sipurnai. So Bilam hits the donkey. Bilam's hitting the donkey. Why isn't he just cursing? Why doesn't Bilam just curse out the donkey? So there are a few answers. Some of them say that the Baal Turim says he's only able to curse once a day. He's only able to curse once a day. So he's hoping he's going to get there that day. Not so sure. And therefore, he wants to save it for Klal Yisrael. Oh, he was trying. Oh, I don't know if it's necessarily different days. Now, especially with what's going on with Hashem being angry. I don't know. As a new Lamazen.
Yeah, but he went to curse from seven different places.
Says about him, Vayach Bilam as Asin. V'likil Esa, Bavar is about him. When he hit it, Yefisha died to the Kalas. So since he plans on cursing Kalas, so the aim base called Kriya Mecha. There's no such thing as being able to curse twice in one day because Hashem says after the Mabul, Vay Oisif l'Kalalaid, Vay Oisif Oy l'Hakais. So that's another answer. Baal Taisa says that if you would curse, he more says an animal in person. He says that once Bilam would curse an animal, I guess like lowering the power of his curses to cursing an animal, he would not be able to curse a person anymore. So you're saying on the day, Right. Exactly. Okay, now I cover this thing. Yeah, I hear. Very nice. Is it so posh to us because we don't have the kayach of magic? But if we were magicians and everything to us was just power of the mouth, wouldn't you use that? Your donkey's killing your leg. Be off with your head. I don't know. Go straight. Stop. I am. Well, so what? What's this? What's this? He's gonna to hit it. What? Start this already, husband, wife. What's going on? What's Christian, you should only be able to go straight. I don't know. You shouldn't need to turn your head. Oh, but yeah, I don't know. Okay, that's about to. So Chaim Kievsky brings a mic just to bring out this insight, I guess, of, you know, a one timer. I think we've said it over before, but here it is. I think it's printed in other places from Mordechai Barnett that he wants to be Makir Toif to someone. So he told the person, buy a lottery ticket with whatever numbers, let's make up the numbers, I'll give it a bracha and it'll win. So the guy went home and he wanted to test it out to make sure it's going to win before he buys the ticket, or he wanted to know already that he's going to win for tomorrow. So he makes a little raffle at home, puts some numbers on the tickets, including this number, and sure enough, he pulls out this number. Wonderful. Next day, by the actual lottery, multi-mega billions, I don't know, whatever, doesn't win. So he came crying to Mordechai Barnett. Well, why? But he said, tell me exactly what happened from the time that you left me. So he tells him the whole story. So he says, so you did win. You used the kach already of the bracha. What do you want from me? You won the raffle. I didn't give bracha for two raffles. What? Yeah. There are many sheets is back and forth. Not to get all them now. Basically, what language was Bilam speaking to his donkey? What was the donkey speaking? What language were the brachas in? All the possible answers that you can imagine. Right? Okay. What's it called? Whether Lashon Kodesh, whether Aramish, whether things were translated afterwards, whether it was on Aramish and the Torah translated it all for us. All the possibilities. All the possibilities. Right. So you're saying it wouldn't have worked anyways. So that curse against that curse, he couldn't anyways, right? I hear. Yeah. Maybe he held his powers over the years, so maybe Hashem gave more once Moshe Rabbeinu came, maybe then Hashem gave him.
How old would he have been if he was?
A little bit less. A little bit less? No, it could be. Could be, because now we're at the end of the 40 years. Could be. Which brings that the Chassam Sofer says, that this is one of the big rayas. First of all, what goes on, and second of all, about Hashem taking care of us. No one knows about this. There are two people in the entire world that know about this, Bilam and Balak. And yet we have every single nuance written in this parsha of the entire story. The back and forth. This entire parsha. Okay, good. A little bit at the beginning with Sari Balak. But the entire goings on at the top of this mountain, Vayela Shefi, whatever. But okay, that was Bilam himself. But Bilam and Balak, the whole bracha, the everything, the trying to curse, every nuance of Chazam, they knew it. That's all. Hashem had it all down, obviously was megalit to Moshe to put into the Torah, and it brings out to us that today, literally at this very second, for all you know, the exact same thing is happening somewhere in a cave in Afghanistan, and Hashem has it written, noted, and quoted, and is taking care of it all. They will be able to say at the end of the days how great Hashem was to us, because they know every time that their plans got foiled. So 2 points coming out of some side. One, once again, Torah Mishamayim, that there's no way that we could have known every nuance of this. And two, the fact that Hashem protected us against every single thing that was going on up there. Well, you know, Right. Yeah.
I think it's a pizza of pepper that Sarah brought him in. It says in the Torah that Hashem saves you again and again and again when we cry. He said, what does that mean? He said, you know better than us what it means.
Right.
Trust when he stops
Anything
I have done.
Right. An interesting aside says that right, we said before the carbonis that they brought, so what mechatesi, that's because of the carbonis. Maybe he was zaycha because we know that Egloin Melech Mayav was a zay feta man. She was so fat, and yet when Ehud the Navi, the Shefet said, Kum Tvar Hashem, he got up, and that's why he was Zeicha that Rosh should eventually come out. So Balak also said, Kum Balak Ushama Benoya Dait Sipar. So maybe he also got up then. Why do you need the schus of the 42 karbonis? So Shom Shechter said very nicely that there's Allah by Kriyas HaTorah that you're not allowed to lean on a bima. It applies by Shimon Asri also, it's as if you're sitting. But if someone's a Baal Boss or if someone's extremely large, then they're allowed to. Fully, Hamish, they're allowed to lean. Yet, Eglon Melech Mayav did not do that. He fully stood up. So Hamish went beyond the letter of the law. Yeah. Again, Eglon Melech Mayav in Sefer Shoftim, he went beyond the letter of the law, standing up from Hashem, that he was mamish fat. He could have leaned, and he didn't. He stood unsupported by himself for the rest. That was enough to be zeiche. That was enough to be zeiche to have Rus come out. Balak,
yeah.
Balak is a regular guy. Wonderful. You stood up for Hashem. That's beautiful. But it's not enough of Rus to have Rus and Mashiach come out. So that's why you have to come on to the 42 karbonis. Famous Chafetz Chaim. No one says it. Why specifically him? Okay, let's finish up because Rishkel is going to start a couple minutes. What's called Reb Dov Moore says from Leif Gurvitz, yeah, Pinchas was raw meister in his kalacha. He says, you see from here, the yisoid of a kanoi is not to go around all day with a spear looking for trouble and looking to start hafkanot. A real kanoi, an emissary, halacha dik kanoi, you be yourself. You happen to see something good, now go pick up the spear and spear through. It doesn't mean that a kanoi goes looking for trouble. That's the emissary. What? Right? And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what we're saying. Okay, fine. To end off last thing is that what was the pshat in Avodah Zarah b'chal of the Baal Par? So Chaim Voloshiner says that in Avodah Hashem there's no place for psalas. We're always looking to get rid of the psalas, right? Klal Yisrael is out from the psalas of the world. The truma is out from the psalas of the grain. By us, we have a basic kisa to get rid of the psalas. So we have a special place. Get rid of it, and now come to serve Hashem. The goyim, they can't find shogah. No, we need to have everything involved. Gil Yerai, Sheikh has done everything. It should be involved with us. So that's what they're trying to come symbolize over here by making an avodah out of the psalas itself. Rather, by us, we push away the psalas and try to have a reina avodah Hashem, a guten Shabbos. Thank you.